Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. The Joker trail's out, and it seems to be causing some controversy, but I haven't watched it yet. Matter of fact, I avoid trailers as much as possible. The only time I see trailers is if I go to the movies, which it's highly probable I'll see it because I go to a lot of movies. We go to a movie every Saturday almost, if things are going well. A matter of fact, this Saturday we're going to see Shazam. Last Saturday we went to go see Us, which we wanted to see a lot because we loved Get Out. It was good, but it wasn't a Get Out. I had some issues with it, but overall it was a good escape and not so scary, but there is that aspect of, I mean, the only part that I thought was scary was the part that they have in the previews. They you see a little bit more of it, but in the preview, the one guy goes outside and he's like, "Why are you standing out here outside my home?" That's pretty scary. And they don't move, and then they don't say nothing, and it looks like a mirror image of the family outside. And that was pretty much the only part that I thought had like a scare factor to it. But overall, it was pretty good. We saw Captain Marvel already, and then we're going to see the real Captain Marvel, Shazam, which I'm really excited for. Except, I am not too excited about Dr. Savannah being a muscle-bound dude. That's more like Eyeback. If you read Power of Shazam, if you go back and read the Golden Age, Eyeback was this scrawny little fucker, and he would say some magic words just like Shazam, and he'd become this muscle-bound bald guy with a mohawk, a little mohawk, and he'd go fight Shazam. And it looks like they're doing that same character, but with Dr. Savannah. At least that's what I can tell. And the only thing I'm basing that on is I shop at Target and I go through the toy aisles. Actually, I think I was at Walmart buying the 100-page giants, and sometimes I go through the toy aisle because I don't buy all of the Marvel Legends, but man, there's some Marvel Legends that I just absolutely adore. One of my favorites is the Gwenpool, very poseable, very cool looking. The other one is the Black Knight, phenomenal. And then I got the Wolverine and Ghost Rider on the motorcycles. And that Ghost Rider is the Blaze Ghost Rider. It's so fucking awesome. I love those toys. I take them to work and I pose them, especially when I'm stressed out. I'm like, that's my stress ball, if you will. And I am gonna buy the new Nighthawk. So I'm real selective because I used to buy all kinds of toys, almost everything that ever came out. And I didn't even used to open them. A lot of my toys are still in their boxes, but the latest few batches I've been opening them, I've been really enjoying. I picked up two that were on sale at Target, Submariner and Black Bolt from the Inhumans. So I have those to add to my collection and open up. So that's on the toy front. I got some recent purchases, recent things in the mail from Aaron Myers. I'll go through these. These were just some random purchases right after the convention. So I last week I talked about the convention and what I bought there. Minus that I bought some digests, and I forgot to mention those. I bought three more Blue Ribbon digests, and I bought another one this week I'll be talking about. But what I bought, I always look for like things that I'm missing, and they don't necessarily have to be things that I'll ever fill, but or I look for good deals. Like if something's rare and it's hard to find and my price guide says it's really high and I could get a good deal on it, even if it's something I really never wanted. This first example is of that. It's from Kamiko Comics. It's the Elementals. I do want a full run of Elementals, but I don't necessarily care about the Elementals Sex Special. This is volume 2 of the Sex Special, And it says it's the number one best-selling sex spectacular. And the picture's very odd. It has this green lady, and I'm not very legit, up to speed on elementals. I've never read it. I hear really good things. It's one of those things that I heard Derek Coward and a bunch of people talk about early on, but I never picked up. I was more into Hero Alliance from him or Maze Agency. He turned me on to John Sable, Freelance, a bunch of other stuff. He did mention Elementals, never got into it. This particular one is a sex special. It's rare. It has a green lady who I imagine is an elemental, and she's sitting on the face of another woman getting eaten out. It's very weird. And on the cover it says, "We proudly support the Comic Book Legal Defense Group." But this is odd because it's so. What's the cover date on this? 1996. I didn't realize that the Comic Book Legal Defense was out that long, to tell you the truth. The next two issues are Showcase issues, and I do have a lot of Showcase, and I have the first Showcase of the Spectre, but this is like the second or third, and I picked up Showcase Presents the Spectre number 64, and it has the Spectre like lifting up this weird demon man from the ground, and Corrigan's underneath both of them. And it says, "Out of my body, you squatter. Introducing the most sensational," and it's Sin, like S-I-N, sensational villain of all time, the Ghost of Ace Chance. So that might be the guy that the Spectre's levitating. I then got the first appearance of Batlash, and I've been wanting to get more Western. I do have all of the Jonah Hex stuff. And I wanted to get the Batlash. This is the Showcase Presents number 76, first appearance of Batlash, and it has some woman. There's a barbed wire fence, and on the barbed wire fence it has a poster. It says "Wanted Reward for Batlash," and there's a woman there with a match, and she just lights it on fire. So that's cool. First appearance of Batlash. The next issue was just a nice copy of Fantastic Four 124. I am filling this series in as I get to it. So if I have a hole, I look it up. I see if it's a good value, and I purchase it. Me and Rob talked about this stuff on Comic Book Retro. We talked about we're filling our Captain America Volume 1, not Volume 1, because Volume 1 would be Golden Age. The Captain America, I guess, Volume 2, Silver Age books, which started at 100 because before that it came from Tales of Suspense. And I have all the expensive books, but I'm filling a hole. This is Captain America 193, and it's the return of King Kirby. And it has Captain America and Falcon running from a mob. And it says, "Mad bomb, it can destroy the world." And Cap's forefront, Falcon's running in the background, and it's by Jack Kirby and John Romita on inks. The next one is, so I own every Superman in Action from 1973 on, but there's. I fill in holes prior to that when I get a chance, and I have a lot of it. But my goal was to get it up to 73. I've passed that goal, and now I fill in a hole when I see a good deal. And this cover was just amazingly striking. It's Superman 220. It's a 15-cent issue, and it has Flash. When you have Superman and Flash on the cover, you think a race. But this one, he's actually punching a wall. And Superman's avoiding it. Flash says, "I'll prove Superman by hitting you with a super punch." Oh, wait. I wonder if I'm supposed to read Superman's blurb first. Superman, I'll prove I'm Superman by hitting you with a super punch. Huh, I missed. So I guess it's Flash trying to prove he's Superman. And Superman dodges it and hits the wall. And Superman says, "Sure, because I vibrated out of your way at super speed, that proves I'm the Flash." So it's like they're switching superpowers. So, but in this particular case, it could really happen if it was both of the characters. That's such a cool cover. I love it. The next one is I'm trying to fill the Topps comics. They had Zorro by Don McGregor, and I've been trying to get these. I have four of them. I still got a ways to go. This is Zorro number three, and it's the first appearance of a character. It's the first appearance of Lady Rawhide, and this is around the time that bad girls were popping up everywhere. The next issue is a very nice copy of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, number 2 from 1975 from Charlton Comics. And this is something that I'm really looking to fill. A matter of fact, I was at the comic shop, and I'll talk about that later, and I was looking for Scooby-Doo issues. I didn't find a damn one that wasn't old. I can't remember who did. I think it was Gold Key did the first volume. And then Charlton took over from there. And this is the Charlton number 2. Really nice copy. It has Scooby-Doo with one of those face mirrors. And he's looking back. And there's like this weird ghost-like vampire popping out of a cloud. And Shaggy, Wilma, and Fred are looking at Scooby-Doo. The next two is I've been looking to complete my War as Hell. I have quite a bit to go. I think I only have five, but I did get War as Hell number 2 from Aaron. And on the side, it's got like a biplane, a soldier, a gun holding a helmet, and it says, "Anytime, any place, War as Hell." And it's got some Nazis on the cover, and this guy looks like he might be a lieutenant of such. He says, "You see, my fellow Nazis, this proves we are truly the master race. The Americans had fled for their lives, every last one of them, and beyond the wall there is an American soldier with a grenade and a pistol getting ready to attack." Really cool cover. We have War is Hell number 10. This has Death is a 30-ton tank. And it says it has a death, like Death, you know, the skeleton. He doesn't have a scythe, but he's overlooking a soldier that's trying to save a woman when the tank is going to run over her. And it says, "Spellbinding, shocking, the most unique war mag ever, dedicated to the end of the war." The next two books were really good deals on these Uncanny X-Men. And I got a big batch of books coming from Reed on Uncanny X-Men to fill in several of my holes. Matter of fact, I'm going to launch the database. The new database came in, supposed to launch faster. I usually just leave it up all the time, but this new database, it uses Sidekick a lot more. And what Sidekick is, it's an app that runs in the background and saves your data to their server and does all kinds of backups and does automatic updates. And that's always been around, but it's been improved to work with their app. So you could be able to pull up the app and look at your reports instead of going to their comic book base website and seeing it. So I haven't tried the new comic book base app yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So this I'm gonna pull this up to see what I have for Uncanny X-Men, and it did load a shit ton faster. So that's one of the big improvements, is a big performance improvement. And we're gonna Edit, jump to issue 168. So this particular one's the first appearance of Madeline Pryor, and it has Kitty on the foreground. It's a beautiful cover. I remember my brother had this one. And then I also got 160. They're both very fine. 160 is also a key issue, one that I really wanted. And then the New Mutants movie's coming out. I don't know if they're going to have her in it, but it's the first appearance of Magic as a teenager. So that's important. It's the first appearance of Sim, S-YM. But I'm a big fan of Magic. I didn't even know this was her first appearance. So I'm happy about that because she's one of my favorite New Mutants. So Tomb of Dracula, I don't own anything except for like two issues. Now I've been getting Werewolf by Night. I only have a few left to go. As a matter of fact, I think they're on my new order that I'm going to place. I haven't placed it yet. But and I have all of the Living Mummy and the Frankenstein Marvel issues. Now I just got to look at Tomb of Dracula. I do own all of Tomb of Dracula, but in omnibus format. I think it's three volumes. It's got two volume one and volume two, and the third volume is the actual black and white magazine. Really cool. But this is the final issue of Tomb of Dracula. It's the last issue. It's issue 70 of Tomb of Dracula. And it says the triumphant climax of the greatest Dracula story of all. Don't dare reveal the shock ending of death of the Night Stalker. And it's got Dracula in a graveyard getting ready to bite a woman. The next one is Ant. And why is this character so special to me? Because Mario Gulli created this character, and he sold the rights to this character to Eric Larson, and Eric Larson has been putting this character in Savage Dragon. Well, I do own I think almost I need one more issue of the Image title to go, and then I'll complete the Ant Image title, and then there's a Big City Comics edition of Ant, and I believe I own all of those. So this is the first volume, which is going to be a little harder to track down. You don't see these in the wild too much. I think they're a low print run. It's from Arcana, and this is Ant number four. I couldn't pass it up. I had to get the issue, and even though I only own one of that volume. I wonder if it's Ant Unbound. I'm gonna have to look this up just to let you guys know what is happening. So on Ant came from Arcana, and he was the writer and the artist. I don't really know. Bill told me at one time why he sold. It's like he needed money really bad. And Eric Larson liked the character, and he offered him a good sum of money just to get the rights to this character, at least a fair offering. And these were four issues of that first volume, and the second volume came out in 2005 and 2006. And let's see what I have of that. I have the first eight issues. It looks like there are 11. So I need 9 through 11. And let me see if there's a Ant Unleashed. There is an Ant something. I know there is. Yeah, Ant Unleashed. That was from Big City Comics back in 2007. And this was Mario Gulli too, with a different artist, Marco Ternini. And I have all of those. That was my first introduction to Ant, even before the character started to appear in Savage Dragon. I found it because Big City Comics was a new publisher, and man, they were publishing some good books back in the, and I was kind of all in, even though they're a dead universe. I was buying a lot of them. They came back fairly recently, but when they came back, they were not coming back as a single issue comic company. They were coming back doing collected editions of material that was new material, but I decided not to go and get those trades. I think I might have one, but I haven't read it yet, and I might regret it if it was really good, like the individual monthlies were. But we'll find out. I am gonna walk over to get some water because I just took Harley for a walk, and it was really nice day. Matter of fact, I took a light jacket, which I haven't done all year yet with Harley. And some people over spring break, some kids spray painted the bridge. Oh, it just pisses me off. I hate vandalism. Bugs the shit out of me when people. I know that teenagers go through a lot. Okay, I mean, teenage is when your hormones are going. There's a lot of peer pressure. There's bullying. There's a lot of crappy things that go on. And but whoever this person was, just spray painted the bridge all over on the wood, actually. So as you're looking down, you see all this and. It's just a bunch of like fuck love, love sucks, fuck love, that kind of shit. And it looks like crap, but it just frustrates me. But where was I going with this? Oh, we were talking about Ant. So Big City Comics. Let me see what they are listed as publisher of. I did not get all of these. There was Ant Unleashed, Brother Man, Dragon Cross. I think I did get that. Totem. That was another one I would get. Basically everything from 2007 to 2008 I got, and then they came back in 2016, and 2018, and. I didn't buy any of those. I think the only one I might have is Roulette, but maybe I passed on that too because it was a $9.99 trade. So I don't know how this company comes and goes. It's kind of an interesting scenario, and the guy must love comics and is not profitable, but he's willing to try. Different things. Sorry, I'm yawning because I'm trying to avoid a sneeze. But the last one I got is a Spectacular Spider-Man issue. It's listed as a special edition. It's called Super Special, number one from 1995, and it is part four of five of the Planet of the Symbiotes. And because of my Venom. Love lately. I've been trying to pick up any Venom book that I can get. So when I run across them, I buy them if they're affordable. So that's what came in. Also came in was five Epic collections of Star Wars. Early on, I was saying I'm gonna get all the Epic collections. I'm gonna get every single one. I want to own a trade collection of something that I have everything of. And I made a decision early on not to get the Dark Horse Star Wars to avoid it and to avoid the Star Wars Marvel issues because I already had them. But then the compulsiveness of having a full run came over me and I was missing volume ones. I was buying volume twos once I decided I was going to do it, but I missed a bunch of volume ones and a couple of volume twos of the Dark Horse releases of the Star Wars Epic volumes. And I placed an order with Amazon, so now I'm only three volumes away from having every single Epic collection that Marvel's ever published. I think two of them are Star Wars, and the other one is a Master of Kung Fu. And you say, Mike, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why wouldn't you get Master of Kung Fu? Because I was using my brain at the time. I said, I already own Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3 of Master of Kung Fu in omnibus format, so why the fuck would I order an epic? And then the compulsiveness came over me. What if you don't have a full run then? You're missing stuff. And then I was like, then the idiot, the little devil on my shoulder says, you really need to go buy those. So those three volumes I will be getting. Master Kung Fu I will be getting, cause it happens a lot, like with the Spider-Man stuff. I try to buy most of the omnibuses, and I have a lot of it duplicated in singles and duplicated in omnibus format. And I was using my brain and said early on and saying avoid this, avoid that, and then I said, nah, that's not right. I can't have a hole in this collection. But then you always wonder, is there going to be like holes when they get to like the Walt Simonson Thor, which I don't think they've done a volume of yet, the Beta Ray Bill stuff, because they've published it in so many different forms. I hope they decide to keep the numbering and conclude this. But so that came in, and then also from Amazon, I purchased four movies. Two of them won't surprise you. I love physical media. I don't want to buy a streaming copy, but these come with the streaming copy. So I bought Aquaman, which was a really good movie. I saw it twice in the theater, and now I have it to watch at my leisure at any time, anywhere, because it comes with a Blu-ray, a DVD, and a digital. And then I have Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This one I even loved more than Aquaman, and I thought it was a very unique movie experience in animation, and it kind of blew me away. I wasn't expecting it, so maybe that formed my opinion to made me like it even more. The other one that I love that nobody ever talks about is Mortal Engines. And it's from the filmmakers of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I saw this at the theater by myself. I can't remember if Barb was working and I had the day off or something, probably during the week of January 1st. And I went to go see it, and I was blown away. It's like a steampunk version of Star Wars, and I like steampunk quite a bit. And this movie just was a visual masterpiece, and the adventure fell into a Star Wars vein, and I love Star Wars. So you put two themes together, and bang! I was like, this is exciting shit. The other one, my lovely wife turned me on to. She knows that I love Flash Gordon, the one that came out in the 80s. Flash, but with the Queen soundtrack. Ah, save every one of us. But anyway, which is kind of funny, 'cause man, I wonder what year that guy came out of. But it had Sam Jones as Flash Gordon, and I think he was in porn before that. I don't know what he was doing, but it doesn't say what year that Flash Gordon came out. But this is a Life After Flash looks at the roller coaster life of Sam J. Jones since his role as Flash Gordon, his struggles and successes, and the aftermath of when he went up against the most powerful producers in Hollywood. I heard it was really good. On the cover, it says, "A wild ride, 4 stars from Flickering Myth," and "Excellent moviesinfocus.com, 4 stars." And Aaron Makeham, who does the Sci-Fi Dig, had posted this on Instagram, and Barb saw it, and she said, "Mike, I think you're gonna love this." So it's not really about Flash Gordon; it's about the actor. And actually, Mark Millar has a quote on it that says, "The most honest documentary you could ever watch about Hollywood." So, bump, 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 flash! Ah! I love that movie. It has a campiness to it, but it is really awesome, and it's so damn awesome. And when I saw it, it was incredible. It was incredible, a visual spectacle. It looks kind of cheesy now, but I love every minute of it. I don't ever use the term. I hate this term, and my friends use it all the time. So I got nothing against my friends using it, but I hate this term. Does it hold up today? That term to me is absolutely bullshit. And here's why I think it's bullshit. Because when I look at something from the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or 2000s, I shift my mind to that time. Yeah, I didn't live in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Well, some of it, but not in the 50s and 40s. But what I try to do is remember everything that happened in the 40s and 50s. And I try to shift my mind to like what would it be like in there, and then I shift it to that time, and then I go and read it and try to experience it as if I'm in that time. I don't try to read something from the 50s and then see how it compares to something that's put out today. It's just totally fucking unfair. It's a different time. Politics were different, people were different, things were different. You need to shift. And that's why I hate it. I hate that term. So that's one of my peeves. And I'm okay with my friends using it. I understand it, but it pisses me off. So what else did we get? Then I went to the comic shop, picked up my DCs like I normally do, and it was a small ass stack of comics this week, DC. I don't know what was going on. It seemed like to be a big shipment of overall comics, but I get that from DCBS. But DC had, and I don't get everything DC at the shop. I get 80/20, and then the 20 I get through DCBS. So if they had a lot of stuff like in Vertigo and other titles that I don't get at the shop, they would be in my shipment. But anyway, I was a little light. So I right before the trip, me and Bill did a geek brunch, and we read some funny books. And it made me feel good. It made me feel good. I read Pink Panther. I read Three Stooges, several issues of Pink Panther, several issues of Three Stooges. I went and read the first appearance of Casper, the first appearance of Hot Stuff, the first appearance of Spooky, Windy. I felt good. I felt young. I felt free. I felt fun. And I said I needed more funny books in my life. So they have a section for kids' books at the shop. And I found a lot of gems, but I only picked a handful. And my focus was DC, because again, DC is where my heart is. But there was a couple of gems that I got. So I'm trying to complete all the Blue Ribbon Digest. I found Blue Ribbon Digest number 41. And I am getting older, just to let you know. I have when I read when I look at something this small, I take my glasses off just to read it. The digests are just as small as the Archie Digest, and they're a collection of comics that were already published in original a monthly format. So this one, Sugar and Spike, Dole Boy, I have a feeling we're not doing this right, and it has Sugar and Spike on a teeter-totter all on one end. Man, that's some good stuff right there. I forgot to mention one other thing. I got Marvel graphic novel number 17, and this is I'm working on completing Marvel graphic novel. This one was a popular one. I don't really know why, but it's got an Egyptian god kind of crushing the town, and it has little icons of Spider-Man, Thor, Captain America, Reed, Torch, and She-Hulk on the cover. But if you look at the creative team, I mean, this would have been something fa if I had it at the convention. I would have loved to get Silvestri to sign this thing. Just because if you could get an Image founder to sign something, they meant so much to me when I was in the 90s. I was so fucking stressed out, man. School was eating me up. I still had to, in my mind, try to get a 4.0. That was always my goal. Be better than everybody else. Study as hard as you can. It's just my mentality. And I never relaxed. But when I could relax, I could detach. And Valiant in the 90s and Image in the 90s, they were a form of escapism. And they were so completely different. One was focused on art at the time with a bunch of artistic creators. The other was focused on story. And together they combined and formed Deathmate. No, they combined and made me at absolute peace for the few hours that I had to read in between classes, or if I needed to chill, especially decompress at night before I went to bed, because my mind would always race. My mind does that still to this day. It tries to solve problems. Matter of fact, I was having an issue at work, and I had a bad college dream the other night, and this one's reoccurring, in different forms. But I was back in college. It was a very stressful time for me because, like I said, I was very competitive. I always had to get above average. I had to be in that top percentile. And even my senior year, I got outstanding senior in engineering. So I was always trying to achieve the best. And I always do that. I don't know why I do that. So even I have to have like the best comics. No, I don't know what's wrong with me. But it provided me so much peace. So having this signed by, Liefeld was there too. I do have some stuff signed by Rob, and but it was, now the lines for Rob are outrageous. But I was at when I got his stuff signed, I believe I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and his line wasn't too bad. This was about the time that Arcade, which, he had Maximum, Awesome Comics, was the most popular one. I can't even think about it. Image, I can't think of it. Help me. What was this studio? Extreme, thank God. So Extreme, Maximum, Awesome, and Arcade. And Arcade was his last one. It didn't last too long, but he had Robert Kirkman writing Youngblood. And if you want to complete his Arcade run, you can get about three or four issues and be done. That's about how far I would die to know what happened to Arcade. Like, why did it not hit at all? Because the stories were great. You had Robert Kirkman writing. I think Busick was on one of them. But it launched, I think, at San Diego Comic-Con, and I got him to sign some stuff. I haven't got Todd, even though I had access to him. It would be amazing to get him. Valentino would probably be the easiest to get. Take a Shadowhawk to, if he shows up. I think I saw him at one con one time. I like him because he's small like me. Todd's lines are outrageous, but if I had the patience to wait, I would be fun. Even Silvestri's lines were crazy, but he was very accessible at the panel, and I wonder if he would have signed something. But I didn't want to be that jerk because the Top Call panel was pretty damn awesome. Plus, I was there with Nick Wetmore, so how could it not be cool? I mean, just being next to Nick is makes the con even better. So, I even forget where the hell I'm talking about. But anyway, I was getting to this Marvel graphic novel, and it's called Revenge of the Living Monolith. And I have every issue. I do have a third print of the Captain Death of Captain Marvel, but the only ones I'm missing are 13 and 14. 13 is Starstruck. I don't think that's going to be too expensive. And 14 is the Swords of Swashbucklers, which I already have because the Dynamite reprinted this in a hardcover, but I need to get this to complete the run. And then I'm missing issue 20, which probably nobody cares about, but it is Greenberg the Vampire by J.M. DeMatteis, which I absolutely love, and art by Mark Badger. So, yeah, I got Revenge of the Living Monolith, which is issue 17, and that is very cool because it's written by one of my favorites of the time, David Michelinie. David Michelinie was on fire in the 90s, maybe it was the 80s and 90s. But what I know, Michelinie's been all over. He did War Comics. David Michelinie did Unknown Soldier. He did so much stuff. But what I know him for is his Iron Man run, which was amazing. You had Bob Layton art and David Michelinie writing and David Michelinie on Amazing Spider-Man, man. Holy crap. And then he had the artists, man. He had Todd McFarlane. He had Eric Larson. He had Mark Bagley. He had some great artists. I mean, it was like, light it up, baby. Amazing Spider-Man was kick ass. But I picked up that. But let's get back to the funny books, if I have them accessible, which I may not. I'll look for them. As I'm looking for them, I will. Why would I not have put them like where I can get to them? I do not know. I got the other stack, so I could talk about what I got today. Ooh, there it is. So my funny books that I picked up Leave It to Binky number 65. This cover's great. Binky's there, all warm, dressed warm, and his girlfriend, not so much. She's cold. And she says, "Brr, Binky, I can't understand why you told me my outfit would be warm enough." And he's like all happy because she's like planted a bunch of kisses on her, and he's like, "Hehehehe." Awesome. And then Volume 2, I actually thought it was Volume 1 when I bought this, but I didn't realize how long Volume 1 ran, but DC had a comic book called The Three Mouseketeers, and it was kind of like a Tom and Jerry, but with three mice and a cat. And this is issues 1 and 2 of Volume 2. Really fun. I didn't even know that existed. This copy was just so beautiful. Like, it is a Dell comic. It's called Porky Pig, issue number 74. The cover just looked immaculate. It has one of the pig girls, I can't remember her name, putting a looks like an operator thing in Porky Pig's air, like a phone operator. It looks awesome, and the cover is just beautiful. That's why I had to pass it up. And it was a good price. I bought from Charlton Comics a Ponytail, and this one has two girls sitting on a blanket, and then the two guys are playing football, and one of the girls gets hit in the head, and the one blonde girl says, "I think they noticed us." It's a cool cover. This I bought, and it's current. It just came out. It's War of the Realms 1, and it's a variant. I don't usually buy a lot of variants, but it was a J. Scott Campbell version of Hela, and it looks great. I had to get it. Anytime I can find an issue of Wacky Races, I've been trying to find this. I got them on my want list at mycomicshop.com, and they never show up. But this is Wacky Races, and it's one of the issues I was missing. And I don't know the exact issue because Gold Key put these fucked up numbers on the cover, and you have to open it up to see what the number is. Dell did the same thing. So on that Porky Pig, you would have to open it up to see what issue it is. Matter of fact, I will do that right now. So this is Wacky Races, one of my favorite cartoons back in the day. And I bought the new DC Wacky Races, so I have all that. But this is issue number 7 from April of 1972. And I love myself Wacky Races. I only have 3 of them from the original series. But anytime I can see these out in the wild, which is very rare, I will pick them up because me likey. And then I got 2 issues of, well, 1 issue of The Fox and the Crow. It's a 12-cent issue. It's number 86, and this is kind of like a crow and a fox in funny comics, and it says fun, 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 and more fun in a laugh-packed issue. And I look through it, and it looks like a bunch of 4-page stories, one after another. So it's like reading a Sunday funny. And then I picked up a 10-cent issue that has Fox and the Crow in it, and this is an older one, and it's called TV Screen Cartoons. Issue 138. And it's actually my first funny book in DC with TV screen cartoons and Fox and the Hound for that matter. So those are my funny books, and I look forward to reading them when I need to decompress. Today was another mail day, so there's been a mail day every week. A matter of fact, somebody on Twitter joked around and says, you get something every week, every day that ends in Y, and he's pretty much true, except for Sunday, unless I go get something on Sunday. But so I made my first purchase from where is this called? IndiePlanet.com. The reason I wanted this was I was going for one book, and it's called Space Crusaders giant size 40-page giant with Rex Dexter of Mars, and it looks like Bronze Age greatness. And it is by Christopher Mills, and I follow him on Twitter, and he's doing a bunch of one shots of these issues. I thought he was going to kickstart it. I asked him, he said no, I'm going to offer it on Indie Planet. When I went to order, I hated the site. I was like, what kind of archaic site would let me put Rex Dexter and show me, when I click on it, just show me one issue, and I can't just shop for everything in that company, like if I wanted extra things. So he had a couple things out there. I can't remember what the Madam something or another. And I said, that looks familiar. So I was going to put it in my cart. And then I said, man, this looks so familiar. I'm going to put it in my database and see if I own it. And I'm glad I did because it was already published by Action Lab. And I was like, yeah, I remember this. Because it was like female pulp, and I'm all over that. So I ended up getting this Rex Dexter of Mars. And if you follow Chris Mills on Twitter, you will see it. I didn't like the shopping experience. I love the shipping. I literally ordered these, maybe, man, it was like Monday? I can't remember. But anyway, I placed my order, and I have all of the books now. And I got this one. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see what the cover looks like. It's like a space dude riding a dinosaur, and there's cavemen in the background with the space woman. It just looks like a mixture of everything I wanted. The next one, I was just clicking through things, and this cover just sold me. And it looks like it's number 16 from Heroic Publishing. This cover has, it says The League of Champions, number 16, an all-new adventure starring Huntsman and the Jaina, the Jungle Queen. Those of you who really know me know that I love Jungle Girl comics. So I will buy Golden Age comics of Naoki, a bunch of different Golden Age Sheena, anything I can get my hands on with a jungle girl and large snakes in anything I can do. I've even done several Kickstarters about this. So I bought this by just looking at the cover, not even looking at the interiors, but I did thumb through it and it looks very interesting. And Heroic Publishing used to be solicited in Diamond, but something happened. They used to have Flare, and now Flare's on sale, and it makes me want to, because the thing about Indie Planet is print on demand. So like when you go to Indie Planet, you can buy it digitally, so you can read things digitally. Or the next option is print on demand. So they print these comics as they're created, which is a very interesting concept. The other one is something I did on eBay because I got impatient. I went to go get the latest 100-page giant from DC, and I got them all, like usual. Went to several Walmarts, but I found them out the first one. But I was looking for this one-shot for Batman 80th Anniversary. It's Detective Comics 100-page giant. And it's a Walmart exclusive, and I could not find it anywhere in the state of Colorado. So I just pulled the plug, spent my $20, and got it on eBay. The next one is very important to my collection. I was thumbing around, and I said, how close am I to completing Hawkman? The reason that brought this up is I saw lots of the first Silver Age Hawkman at C2E2, and I was looking to get it, and I didn't go for it, but I really want it. And I was like, I wonder how many of the Hawkman. I know I have everything Hawkman except for Volume 1. So I looked at Volume 1. I even have all of Hawkman, Adam Hawkman, which was joined. They joined the title when it wasn't selling so well, and it didn't last too long. So I have a full run of that. But I have every Hawkman issue. So you even get to Shadow of Hawkman, got it. Hawkman Volume 2, got it. Miniseries, any of that stuff. Hawk Worlds, you get into the Hawk Worlds, I got it. Hawk Girl, I got that. I got everything except for this Volume 1. I was like, I got to complete it. So I still need number 1, which is still expensive. I still need number 2. I think I ordered number 2. We'll find out any day now if it's going to arrive. I need number 11, number 15, number 18, number 19, well actually 18 through 21, and then 23. And then I'll have all of the 27. So I'm lacking about 6. And then I'll have to work on that showcase. And trust me, if I'm alive and I'm still healthy, I will have it. I will get this thing. But this is Hawkman, number 23, and he's fighting a huge snake who's attacking a build. Actually, it's a dinosaur who's attacking a building, and he's punching it, and he gives it a nice solid punch. And it says the Hawkman from 1 million BC. On the cover. Very cool. Very happy to add that to my collection. The next one that arrived was a Kickstarter. The only one I know who bought this comics, I think there might be three people I know. Two people. Oh, Bill bought some of them, but he only bought the number one. So there's four people I know on the planet that bought this stuff. It was published from Overground Comics. And, originally, it was all his company, and he solicited through Diamond. And then he sort of joined Antarctic Press and published like one or two issues through Antarctic Press, and now he's doing a Kickstarter to finish all of his overground comics. And his name may sound familiar, but he's John Hughes, and it's not the John Hughes from Pretty in Pink and Breakfast Club. And this was Pulp Plus Ultra, number 8. So he's working on completing all of his comics, which I really appreciate. And he makes them pretty affordable for Kickstarters, which I really appreciate, even though Kickstarter is always way more than you could ever spend at a comic shop. Even through DCBS shipping and everything, it's just they're just expensive. You always, by default, a single issue is $10, and shipping is roughly $10. So I'm gonna break that mold. I'm gonna take a fucking loss, but I'm gonna try to make my comic book $3.99, and yeah, shipping is gonna be whatever shipping is, 'cause I'll probably ship first class, so I could, I mean, just so I can track it. Yeah, so it'll be like from $7 to $8, but it will be what it'll be. And for me, I hope to offer two covers, potentially have one in color and one in black and white, if I can afford a colorist. If I can't, then I will just do a black and white. But I already have plans to take a loss just to get my first comic out there, and I hope people will buy it. But if not, it's one of those things that I could check off and say, you know what? I did that, and the process is pretty amazing. My artist, Zach, has really been like my Stan Lee. He's taking my vague script and he's turning the visuals, like even pictorially, like just the positions of things into something that I could never have done myself. His thumbnails, so all the thumbnails are done. I think he's got a page or two already inked and processed, and he's working on it. I don't know how long it'll take to finish, but it's something that I am personally really excited for. So I drank water, and now I'm gonna drink my favorite podcast drink. It's what has become my favorite podcast drink. It's Stewart's Orange and Cream. Ah, I like their root beer too, but their orange and cream is like creamsicle goodness. So refreshing. Went for two walks today. I've been walking with one of my coworkers during lunch. But after that trip in Chicago, I walked so much. I came back and I didn't use my orthotics. It was a bad idea. But I got to the thinking I could stop using my orthotics, and it was a bad idea. Because my plantar fasciitis came back, and what it feels like is it feels like your heel, like nails are in it, and I just thought that I was cured. Turns out I wasn't. So now I got my orthotics back in the shoes, and I'm slowly recovering, but man, it hurts like a bitch to walk on concrete. So this walk, two walks today with Harley were pretty brutal, because a lot of it is on concrete sidewalks and stuff. But what else do I want to talk about? So we talked about that. Okay, one other thing. Another thing I got from Indie Planet is another book from Christopher Mills. He had three issues of his publishing arm is Atomic Pulp, and he had three issues of Perils on Planet X. And it looks really cool. And I think I'm going to enjoy it. So I wanna read that soon. And then there's a shit ton of other Kickstarters that arrived. They're starting to start piling in. So that was all the purchases. I think I have one more issue of Hawkman coming in. I think it's issue two. And then I'll work on issue one. I've already been poking around, looking at a VG copy, because if I went near Mint, the cheapest I would probably get it for is like 800 bucks. So, yeah, it's probably gonna be a very, very good, get it a little bit over, $150. But I want to complete that. And then I started looking, well, I have Adam Hawkman. What would it take for me to complete the Adam series? And I'd have quite a bit of work on that one. I have every Adam comic that was published, sort of the Adam, all the different Gail Simone Adams. But the Adam specific comics, I pretty much only have like 20 and up. And a couple of special editions, and I need the last issue, and I have some miscellaneous between. I have my earliest issue is issue 8, but I have 1 through 7 I need to get, and that's not going to be cheap. So that's one of my goals that I'll slowly try to do. It's Gil Kane art, Gardner Fox writing, good stuff. I just love comics. How could you not love comics? I just don't get it. I love all comics, even the bad ones. I just love to delve into comics and just see what people create to make me happy. So, what I want to do next is go into the weekly reads. And I will need to pause for the cause because I need to do some totals. And then I'll be right back, but we'll be covering books from February 15th through March 3rd. And then let's see where I left off on the mic questions that I still have. Ooh, this is gonna be a bitch. Especially just to do off the cuff. But Nick Wetmore says my top five Legion of Superhero members. And I'm like weird with Legion of Superheroes. I like go for a lot of obscure ones, except for some of them. One of them I have a commission of. One of them I have drawn a print of that Mike Grell did. None of them are the original. Legion of Superheroes, so no Lightning Lad or Saturn Girl or Cosmic Boy. None of those are my favorite. One of my favorites is he's impulsive and he's got really cool power to turn on one at a time, and it's Ultra Boy. I've always loved Ultra Boy. The other one, Wildfire. He's really like this ball of energy that's, in order to have form, he puts himself into a suit. And I really love him. I think he was dating the girl with wings, and now I'm losing her, what she called. I'm not the best with the Legion of Superheroes. She's a tracker, but I'm losing it. Not thinking of it. The other one is not even that popular, but I just absolutely love her, and it's Night Girl. She was originally a member of the Legion of Substitute Heroes, and then she was an instructor in the 2000s when Adventure Comics came back. Really love her. She's really, really cool. The other one I would go with, I got two more. No particular order, by the way. Triplicate Girl or Dual Damsel. Man, that would have been a great Peepboy commission. That's what I should have went for. Well, no, I'm pretty happy with my Mary Marvel. That's more important to me. But to get to, like that, would be really good. Night Girl or Triplicate Girl. He could have done something so sexy with those triplicates. Plus, it would have cost more probably because there's three characters. The last one. Ooh, it's gonna be tough. Man, there's so many great ones to choose from. Gonna go with Sun Boy. I've always liked his costume. I've always found him an interesting read. And then there's Shadowlass, but I'm gonna go with Sun Boy. So that's my top five off the cuff. I probably missed two. Night Girl is definitely on there. Wildfire is definitely on there. And the first three I know for sure. But if I was to go to like Legion of Superheroes and look at the roster, holy crap, they're just as bad as the X-Men. Wikipedia. Where would it say the members? Usually you see them. Oh, see list of superhero members. They even have a separate page for that. Holy moly. So Triplicate Girl is it's and then you had Superboy, Phantom Girl. See if I missed any that I love. I think I got them. Ooh, Mon-El. I like him a lot. Oh, I forgot a big one. But I'll stick with my guts. I'll stick with what I said. But I forgot Karate Kid. I've always loved Karate Kid. Oh, Timberwolf. Oh, man. Oh, but I'll stick with what I have. Dawnstar was the one I was talking about. Oh man, they're such good characters. Even the Bronze Age members. Oh man. Oh, this is fun. Not good radio, but it's fun. Thank you, Nick, for that question. I'm going to try to do one more. I think it's another top five. Top five Doom Patrol members. That is pretty easy. Robot Man, Negative Man, Elastigirl. It's really the original three. Dr. Calder is a Doom Patrol member. At least I consider him a Doom Patrol member. Who else would be? There's a bunch of Morrison characters, but I feel like I'm missing somebody that I really like, but they came much later. But none of my favorites were the Morrison characters. I'll go ahead and put one of them in there, Crazy Jane. I like her a lot. So that's my list. The original four. I didn't put Beast Boy in because I think he's more of a Titan. But the original four plus Crazy Jane. So we'll go with that. So, thank you for the questions. Nick's got some more top five characters coming. I got two more sets. One of them's going to be very tough, but what you got coming up in the next few weeks is top five G.I. Joe characters. And what you're going to see is probably a lot of characters. That may surprise you that were featured in IDW's G.I. Joe Cobra because I loved it so much. But you got to remember, I wasn't there for the original G.I. Joe. I was mostly there when when they were relaunched in IDW, even though I have a good portion of G.I. Joe comics, it's because my brother gave me his collection. And then I did buy the hardcovers when they were reprinting the Marvel series. I don't even think they finished it, but I have everything that they published in hardcover. So you have that coming up. Comic book robots, that's going to be fun. Top five comic book masks, helmets, and cowls. That is going to be real fun. So that's what you got coming up in future episodes. You should listen to see what I have to say about that. And if you have time on the Twitter machines for this episode, if you can at me and say at Mike Myers Brunch what your top five Legion of Superheroes are, or your top five Doom Patrol characters are, please let me know on the Twitter machine. Or you could do it on Facebook if you're my Facebook friend, but that one I have, I'm more selective about who I let into my picture world. So, but you could go also post it at Geek Brunch Podcast on the Facebook page. You could do the website too, but man, the only time I check them is when I upload an episode. I see a little comments thing and I say, I'm gonna go check it, and then I have to approve it. So I'd prefer Twitter, but you could go to Facebook and do it. So let me know. I'll be right back. I'm gonna pause the recording, total up some stuff, and then come back and let you know what the top weekly reads are. And I'm back. That was quick because I didn't read a lot. This is for weeks of this can't be right. It must be the 25th. How did this happen? The 25th. I got out of date on this thing, so if we add 6 days, I'll just go find out on the calendar what was happening in March. So if I go back, March, that would be through the 3rd. And it started on the 25th. So that is right. I just had the number one wrong. I was missing it. So, oops. There was a total of 17 comics, 17 Marvel, 1 DC, and it looks like that particular week, I just touched on DC, and it's my least favorite. So again, the ratings are 1, I hated it; 2, I didn't like it; 3, I like it; 4, I really like it; and 5 is I loved it. I have a 2 out of 5. Heroes and Cra I was a little harsh on this. I'd probably make a 3 out of 5. But it's just, I felt it didn't advance, move the needle on the story at all. And it focused on a character that I've seen written way better in Titans. But it focuses on Narc. There's a focus on, they're getting interviewed by the psychiatrist or whatever at this place to get help for heroes. So they have Narc, Wally, and Harley right before the attack on the facility. So you actually see the attack on the facility. And I think you see in this issue that Harley was with Poison Ivy, who I think gets slaughtered in this one, but you can't really kill a plant. But focuses heavily on Narc, like his relationships and what it was like being a caveman coming into present time. Did something very similar that in the Terrifics fairly recently with Java, except in the annual, and that was much better, in my opinion. So I rated this 2 out of 5. It focuses on those characters, did not really add to the story, and I personally could have missed it and not felt it, I missed anything of the mystery. So that's how I felt. Your mileage may vary, and if you really like it, I am glad. I am really glad. It's good to know that it's hitting the right notes for somebody. A lot of my friends, I think, on the Nerdy Legion like it more than I do, which is good. I think Kyle, my host on a DC Spotlight, likes it a little more than I do, but not much. So, yeah, we'll see how this lands. I feel like this was a 5-issue miniseries, which it was originally solicited, and they extended it. And these middle issues, they're not adding anything. They're just there, I think, to get some money. I don't think it adds anything. If you want to know what it adds, ask Daryl, because he loves everything Tom King does. 3 out of 5s. I have Nightwatch 5 through 6. I don't know any of these comics. I was reading this in the Venom Omnibus. Matter of fact, I need to put Venom like on this because Venom is my character spotlight this year, and I want to know how much I've read of Venom. So he's a Spawn-like character. Matter of fact, creepingly so. He's looking to destroy in the past, and he's looking to destroy a suit that a past organization has that created his costume. His uncle wants nothing to do with him because his entire family feels he left with no explanation. Nightwatch fights with Venom because the corporation is located in San Francisco and Venom just happens to be there. So, I'm just gonna fix some grammar in this because when I type these, it is kind of like crazy time. We get to the 4 out of 5s. This is Daredevil 323, also from the Venom Omnibus. This is the Venom is after a virus that will help him get rid of his issues with fire and sound. So pretty much get rid of his weaknesses. And Daredevil somehow convinces him that his strength is in his weakness, so he ends up leaving. It's a very unusual story, and it's like part four of a very key Daredevil crossover that just this one issue focuses on Venom, and it's in the actual Omnibus. The next one is Venom Knights of Vengeance 1 through 4. Shaun Knight was working undercover with this group called the Stalkers, not the ones from the Epic line, because the Stalkers in the Epic line are pretty awesome. But once they are overcome by alien technology, he manages to escape, but they are now after him. He looks homeless, so Venom feels the need to defend him. He teams up with Vengeance. So Vengeance is Michael, so God, I can't remember his last name, but he is the cop that gets the spirit of vengeance in him in the Ghost Rider series. So this has a crossover with Vengeance, hence the title Knights of Vengeance. He teams up with Vengeance once Beck and Elizabeth are captured by the Stalkers. Vengeance frees them and defeats the Stalkers. The Stalkers want to destroy the Earth. It was a fun mini. I enjoyed it. We have Iron Man 302, which is a Venom omnibus. Eddie decides Tony Stark takes advantage of people and he needs to die. He knocks the head off of Tony and finds out it was really his robot. At this time, Tony is in an electric wheelchair. I remember Daryl on Twitter told me why, and I can't remember. But he added me and said, this is why Tony was in the wheelchair, and I don't remember. But he gets, I remember that Daryl told me. I guess I get credit for the white dots there. He gets the suit and they fight. Venom leaves before killing Tony. The next one is one that I just purchased from Cowabunga Comics. It is a promotional comic also in the Venom Omnibus, which I enjoyed quite a bit. It was Peter David, and the artist I've never heard of, but he draws very McFarlane-like. It's a promotional book, and like I said, it is a guy who has a device that is causing earthquakes in San Francisco and asking for money from the city in order to stop them. Venom thinks the Hulk is causing the earthquakes because he's jumping all around and he vibrates the ground when he lands. So they end up fighting. They end up finding the earthquake dude, and he's just some dude like Dr. Savannah with this cardboard box. So I don't even know if these earthquakes were real, and this dude was like claiming that he was causing the earthquakes. It really doesn't explain it, like how this guy was doing it with this cardboard box. Oh, that's a good soda. I still gotta eat dinner. The next was from the Venom Omnibus. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put a note there because I want to track it because he's my character of the year. And this is my other character of the year is Captain Marvel, so I'm trying to read as much Captain Marvel as I can. But I'm really reading a lot of Venom. Matter of fact, I'm 6 issues away from completing my second omnibus. I've only completed 2 omnibuses to date, with all the ones I've had. The first one was the Clone Saga Volume 1, and this is Venom Volume 1. Both in the Spider World. I gotta turn the light on. It's getting dark in here. And get the controllers out so when Barb comes home from yoga, she's ready to watch her TV. I'll probably be ready for bed. I'll eat my salad and get ready. It's been a busy week. Part of it has been anyway. Tomorrow could be real busy if things align at work. But yeah, Incredible Hulk versus Venom. Thank you, Cowabunga. If you are looking for a shop to and you happen to be in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, make sure you stop at Cowabunga Comics and tell them I sent you because they're awesome dudes. I would shop there because they have a mail order service if it wasn't I'm so loyal to DCBS. DCBSService.com. I love them. You see their advertisements in the comics, and they say, we can't print the savings that you get when you come here because they won't let us. But they're pretty substantial. You're at least getting 40% on all Marvel DC Image and 25 to 30 on other books, sometimes 35 depending on the publisher. And sometimes if they have a bundle, it's 50% off, like Valiant. You can get all the Valiant comics subscribed to it and you get 50% off cover. So you just got to factor in your shipping, your frequency of shipping, and see if it's an affordable solution for you at DCBSService.com. And yes, I promote them without getting a damn thing from them. And I don't give a shit. Honey Badger don't care. They provide a service to me. They allow me to buy more comics. Of course, I'm gonna love them. I don't know what this is. But I get so distracted. So we have Dark Hawk 35 through 37. This is a series that I'm pretty interested in finishing. I never read it when it was coming out, and whenever he shows up, he interests me in current comics and he was a member of New Warriors, so I did read that. And every time I read one of these issues, I'm like, this is something I want to follow. Whereas Nightwatch, I do want to have his titles, but I'm not in a hurry because it wasn't as good as I want, but I would love to have it. But Darkhawk is one that I'm really interested in sitting down and absorbing. Darkhawk's brother is with a serial killer who's trying to convince the boy to kill his family, and this is really weird. But the boy turns on him and goes with his family. They get a call from their father, who they think is dead, but he's alive. They believe he died, a criminal, but he is not. The organization is looking to capture this symbiote from Venom, the symbiote. And this leads to Darkhawk and Venom fighting and then teaming up to defeat the evil organization and free Darkhawk's father. His mother is reunited with the father, but then they don't know where Chris went because at the end of the issue, he has to go into space. During this time, he's looking for his father. He is worried once he is Darkhawk, that he will not be able to change back. And he had a couple instances in these issues where he couldn't change back, and it plays into the beginning of, I think, issue one, where he finds out his father's evil, but you learn later on that he might not be evil. We then have Conan 5 and 6. This is from the Epic Collection of Conan, which does the Kurt Busiek run from Dark Horse. Conan is a slave with the Aryans, and the slave woman gives him a plant to overcome the drug, keeping them actually making them do mindless work. So he went to Hyperborea. They were actually captured by the Hyperboreans and made slaves, both the Aesir and the group that was fighting him. But this drug lets them snap out of their mindless work and their gladiator bouts. He frees the rest of the Aesir, and they fight the Hyperboreans. Conan goes to rescue the slave girl who provided their freedom and finds her enslaved with the rest of the Aesir that he just stepped away from when they were fighting them. And they were put under a trance again and kind of jumped off this cliff and fell to their death. Conan climbs down to see their bodies being eaten by insect creatures. Plus, they were all broken because of the fall. But he ends up meeting one of his Aesir Viking brethren that he was with. And he talks to him and he says, "Could you send us to Valhalla and just burn me?" Because they believe their ashes would let him take their spirit up to Valhalla. The Hyperboreans, they believe that falling off their city is for them to be with their gods, but they're really falling to their death. So that's interesting. Their religion is really enforcing their death by jumping off. And I've been really enjoying these 4 out of 5, Conan 5 of 6. And then at the top of the list, the last 4 out of 5 is Savage Sword of Conan 1 and 2. Conan is saved from drowning after his ship is destroyed. These pirates want to make him a slave. Once he feels better, him and his chain partner kill the mer pirate and sink the ship. They are now trying to swim to shore. He ends up on the shore with his co-prisoner. A matter of fact, I think they were strapped together, and they fight some sorcerers. And Conan goes to the library where he meets a woman, where they team up to find out where the treasure is based. And he had a map envisioned on the ship that he got from these mer people, and shared it with the woman so they can go look at these landmarks, because a lot of these landmarks weren't there. But she's like a historian in the library, and she knows what was there and what's not there now. So she'd be able to help with the map and have him find this treasure. So really cool for Marvel Comics. It's the brand new series, Savage Sword of Conan, not the black and white, but the latest volume. So I want to thank you for listening. The top books for that week were Savage Sword of Conan 1 to 2 and Conan 5 through 6. So I was in a Conan mood and a Venom mood, and that's what was happening. So stay tuned and join us for another episode in next week. And I want to thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.